been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning. It is the rebound day after the big sell-off yesterday in the market. This is Bill Gunderson with Southport Capital, professional money manager. My last tweet of the day yesterday was, the market is overreacting to the COVID Delta variant. When interest rates calm down, the market will calm down. I do not know how long that will take, but this should be another very strong earnings season. And I've said it many times, you know, at the end of the day, it will be earnings that will win out. You know, sentiment takes over the markets and holds it hostage from time to time. And we've had some sour sentiment here along with the spreading COVID variant, the Delta variant. But in the end, earnings will win out, and we are getting some earnings reports today, and I think that's helping the market somewhat. But having said that, we had a huge sell-off yesterday. The Dow was down 726 by the end of the day. Today we're getting back 416 so far, but strong volatility continues. It's all about where we close today with a lot of time before now and the close of the market. We've got the NASDAQ right now up just 50 points. That's a third of a percent. The Dow's up 1.2%. The reflation trade a little bit back in style today. S&P up 35 points today. Russell 2000 small caps, where there's some good value, but the momentum's terrible. It's up 0.7%. Crude oil cleared down to 66, down 20 cents. The 10-year is at 1.16, almost unbelievable. And Bitcoin has broke 30,000. It's down 1,100 to 29,488. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Southport Capital. Big sell-off in the market yesterday. The COVID news spreading, the COVID variant, Delta variant, spreading around the world, the globe. And worries that we'll have more shutdowns and go back into lockdown and have the kind of, you know, sell-off in the market like we had last year when COVID originally hit. I don't see that happening. I don't think this variant is nearly as strong or potent as the original. But you know what? It has turned the sentiment on the market for now. But at the end of the day, earnings will win out. That's what we're going to focus on here. Try to focus on the most here today. The NASDAQ was down 152 yesterday. You've seen oil. It's down $10 per barrel from its high. And, you know, not only did it get hit with the agreement amongst the OPEC members to open the spigot a little bit more, but also the fear of another global slowdown like we saw in February, March of last year, which saw oil go negative. And now here we are clear back to $76 per barrel. We've dropped to 66 here during this recent scare. The 10-year's down to 1.18, which is really crazy. I mean, that's also a huge overreaction to the COVID Delta variant. But it is what it is, and I think eventually these interest rates will settle down. From my perspective, it's been interest rates that have caused much of the volatility in the market. It was the spike in rates back in February that, you know, took a big chunk, a slice out of the high growth market. Then interest rates going up, which put a bid under the oil, the commodity, the reflation stocks. And then, of course, interest rates coming back down, which took the bid away from those stocks. But I think, you know, interest rates are eventually going to settle down here. Maybe we've seen the worst of it. We're at 1.18. It's hard to imagine them going lower, but it was hard to imagine them getting to 1.18, too. Bitcoin, I'm not surprised, breaking 30,000 today. I told you about the death cross in the charts here recently. I have not been a fan of Bitcoin, and now it's come down from 65,000. It's now under 30,000 at 29,000. As far as valuation of the market goes, it remains expensive, no question about that. The P.E. ratio of the S&P 500, according to my numbers, 29.9. The forward P.E. ratio, 22.02. What's been the long-term average? 16 to 17. Why is it at 22? An ultra-accommodative Fed dishing out, lots of stimulus and injecting money into the system, and that has created a valuation bubble in the market, but earnings can maintain that bubble and continue to keep the market going, but it comes down to the earnings picture. We are getting some earnings reports today, which we'll get to here in a bit. The Dow had its worst day since October of last year. Yeah, the market got really dicey right before the election of the presidential election. And in fact, that's the last time I saw my list of B plus or better ranked stocks in my database dip below 500 was back in October of last year. Well, that proved to be a pretty good buying point in the market, and now we're down, my list of B-plus ranked stocks is down to 413 today, but I think we'll see some stabilization there. And from my perspective, I think there's going to be some really good buys in some really good, high-quality growth stocks, which seem to be the place that you want to be right now. Well, the futures were up overnight pretty good after yesterday's big drubbing. The market opened very, very weak, and now it's gaining some steam here. And I think that's because of earnings coming in. European stocks did well overnight. Germany's PPI, 1.4, not too bad. They're not seeing much inflation there. U.S. issues a do-not-travel advisory for the U.K., don't travel to the United Kingdom is what they're saying. Of course, yesterday the United Kingdom had its Freedom Day where it lifted the majority of its COVID-19 restrictions. And in the meantime, Singapore is tightening their restrictions. So it kind of depends where you're at. It's all over the map. Yesterday the reflation and the reopening stocks really got hit hard. The airlines, the hotels, the cruise lines, etc. Apple has delayed their return to the office as COVID cases climb. CEO Tim Cook was looking for employees to return to the office for 3 days a week in September. I guess you goof off the other 2 days at home. Employees will be giving a month's notice as to when they will have to return, but he has extended that due to this current rise in the COVID variant. Apple price target lifted at UBS ahead of upside earnings. They lift their price target on Apple to 166. I'm seeing a good bounce in Apple. There were some concerns yesterday about security of the iPhones. There was a company in Israel that was able to get in right inside the iPhone very easily, and that caused some jitters. The stock actually gapped down. It's rebounding somewhat today. It's up 1.1%. We currently own Apple. UBS raises the price target from 155 to 166. The stock is currently trading at 144. And Apple's always a big earnings report. They will report 7 days from today, so next Tuesday, we'll get Apple's report. Their latest quarter, their earnings were up 54%. Their sales were up 119%. That's just the opposite. 119% up in earnings, 54% up in sales, which is pretty incredible for a $2.4 trillion company to still be growing like that. Now, it's not going to maintain that kind of growth, but still, that was a stunning quarter that Apple put together. That was the first quarter of this year, and of course, they'll be reporting the second quarter of this year a week from today. Now, when we come back, we've got to talk a little bit about these sinking bond yields, what the bond market seems to be saying. Who would buy treasuries at 1.18% down here? What stocks will be, what sectors will be benefiting from these low interest rates once again? This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. To the second half. Well, the market, or second quarter, the market is picking up some steam here. The Dow is now up 502. The NASDAQ up 102. The Russell 2K up 2% right now. It's the star of the show today. Russell 2000 at 2,173. Now, I should note, in the newsletter every week, I give a target price for the S&P 500 under a few different scenarios. I also give a target price for the small cap index. It's actually the S&P 600, which is very similar, pretty close to the Russell 2000. That's the most undervalued index of all, by far, the small caps. And the momentum has been terrible, though, in the small caps. But if you're looking for value and the most upside potential out of an index, I'd be looking at some of the small-cap ETFs and small-cap mutual funds and small-cap stocks right now, which they've been under heavy pressure. I don't really know why, other than a flight to safety and a flight to quality, which I mentioned yesterday. Over the last several weeks, you've seen this flight to these big, giant, you know, stocks, quality, I would call them. And you've seen a flight away from the small cap stocks, but that's created some pretty good value there. And, you know, that momentum may start to return here, and they do look to be in oversold territory. Okay, the sinking bond yields, okay, is this here to stay? I mean, the sinking bond yields are an indication of fear about a slowing economy, stagflation maybe, you know, where we get slow growth and inflation, which would be the worst scenario. I heard Mohammed El-Erian talking about that yesterday. He didn't even want to say the phrase. It's such an ugly situation. But, you know, obviously with the sinking bond yields, there's some fear about the economy in the future. And I think a lot of the fear is coming from this COVID variant, and I think the fear is overblown. Well, I've got somebody here that agrees with me. Is it UBS? Sinking bond yields surprise investors, but Wall Street still thinks it's a blip. I agree. I think it's a blip. A sharp decline in yields coincidental to a rise in COVID Delta variant cases indicates economic growth concerns. That's just what I said. But technical factors are also at play. Now, this comes from J.P. Morgan, asset management, head of global aggregate fixed income strategies. Okay, so here's a guy who does this for a living, an expert on fixed income. He says the fundamentals we all know, the economy is strong, the economy is recovering, inflation is rising. So why are bond yields falling? It seems bizarre, doesn't it, says he. He says bond yields are falling, I think, critically because of a lot of positions issues, he says. Bradshaw said on Bloomberg that prior to the most recent Fed meeting, there were a lot of positions, short positions in the long bond sector, and therefore you had short covering. You've also had increased buying from liability-driven investors that has meant there has been no marginal sellout on the long end. I think the technicals are extremely positive. There's a demand for safe asset as equities move higher, and that's been beating fundamentals as of late. But he thinks that all of this move in the bond market is a blip and that eventually the bond yields will start to head higher, which I think so too, and the market will start to stabilize, which we're seeing here at least today. One day does not mean we've turned this thing around and turned the corner on that. But it has caused quite a few gyrations in the market here so far this year. The gyrations in the bond market and in the yield. Which, you know, you could say, well, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Are bond yields falling because the market's been going down, or is the market going down because bond yields are falling? I think the market's kind of been following interest rates around. And I don't think interest rates are giving the true signal of the strength of the economy and the strength of earnings right now. David Poppe, president of Governey Capital Asset Management, said in a fund letter that no sane person would invest in treasuries at today's level. He obviously agrees with J.P. Morgan and myself. We are in the camp that these bond yields, where they're at right now, don't reflect reality out there in the economy and in earnings. And he's saying, you know, I mean, a lot of this is being caused by the government able to pump enormous amounts of money into the economy very, very cheaply because the Fed is willing to make what appears to be non-economic investments in treasuries and other debt interest instruments. Evidently, the Federal Reserve has little confidence in the recovery, he added. Well, I don't know about that. Well, that could be. I mean, they haven't raised interest rates, but the earnings picture of the market continues to look very good. That's what I observe. Earnings tonight. Well, we're going to get a couple of big ones, all right? Finally getting some of the more market-moving names. Netflix will report earnings after the close, one of the FANG stocks. United Airlines, you know, that's been a reopening stock that's been played by the Reddit crowd and the reopen crowd, and I'm not a fan of the airline stocks at all. Chipotle will report earnings after the close tonight. A bit of a market mover, kind of a bellwether for the consumer, the younger consumer, I would say. And so that would be interesting. Carnival to operate up to 75% of its fleet. Well, of course, that depends now. We got to watch the COVID thing. But by year end, they should be back up to 75% of capacity. That stock's been getting hammered. I can't understand people going back in and buying Carnival, you know, last year. They made a lot of money, okay, on speculation. But the fundamentals, do you know how many shares that these cruise ships have floated to keep afloat, to keep the boats afloat, to keep the company afloat? Do you know how much dilution there's been to the shares? That dilutes earnings. Do you know how much debt they've incurred and bonds they've floated just to get through this time? That has really weakened their fundamentals, in my opinion. Tesla getting very close to a semi-truck. Things are really starting to move with the Tesla Semi, which has been delayed since launch in 2017. Well, supposedly 10 or 8 will roll off the line fairly soon with a 300-mile range. Well, we'll keep our eye on Tesla. How's the stock looking today? Yeah, it's been pretty weak here lately. Very dull, in my opinion. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Dow up 470 right now. Market picked up a lot of steam here as we began the show, and it's hanging on to it right now. The Russell 2K up 2%. NASDAQ doing well today. Pretty good bounce back day after yesterday's big sell-off, which, you know, I said I thought was a big overreaction. You know, it kind of builds up over the weekend, all the news, the COVID variant and blah, you know, a scare here and a shutdown there and, it's spreading in this country and lockdowns over. And Monday morning is just like, let's just get out, especially after the market had kind of a rough day last Friday. And I thought yesterday was a big overreaction, just kind of a scared move, like, here we go again with COVID, which we went through, you know, over a year and a half ago now in the markets, causing a big sell-off. And I think there was some of that panic. But if you sat back and kind of analyzed the situation and just thought about it logically, you say, well, I know it's spreading, but this doesn't seem to be nearly as bad as what we had last year, okay? That's just my opinion. And the market is rebounding, at least today. Okay, what's the worst sector in the market right now? It's been the electrical vehicle sector. I talked about that yesterday. And the auto sector in general. Now, there's probably some pretty good buys there right now. Yesterday, I saw Ford and GM just get whacked. Today, there's news on Volkswagen, which they have probably the most aggressive electric vehicle plans in the entire industry. They're going to end their brand Passat, which they build in Tennessee. But there's been some interest lately in the stock of Volkswagen because of their electrification plans. But as I look at my app, okay, my proprietary ranking system, that's all I need to do is look at a chart and look at the current ranking of Volkswagen, VWAGY. It's ranked at number 4,095. Pass. Check the next one. Okay, GM reveals plans to make another electric truck. Do you know how crowded this field is getting now, electric trucks? We still haven't seen Tesla's wedge-shaped truck. We still haven't seen Lordstown Motors. We still haven't seen Nikola's truck, but everybody's got a plan for trucks. Rivian. Now, GM is, oh, and of course, Ford. Ford's got their F-150 that they're electrifying. Well, GM obviously came out recently with an electric Hummer. I don't know if it's out yet. I haven't seen one. But now they're going to electrify their Silverado pickup. Actually, they're Chevy Silverado. So there's another one to hit the market, an electric truck. And I think that's one of the issues with this electric vehicle. It's getting to be very, very crowded, very, very competitive. Be very difficult to grab market share, and even more difficult to actually be profitable in this venture. So I'm not a fan there of I thought maybe playing the component makers and whatnot, but that didn't turn out so well. Those stocks kind of sold off as interest rates started to come down. So, yeah, you know, the auto sector, other than Tesla in recent years, really has never been that great of a sector to invest in. Bitcoin continues to test 30,000. Well, it's below 30,000 right now. And if we look at Grayscale's Bitcoin Trust, which a lot of shares, that's another problem. It's unlocking 41,000 shares this month, meaning those were shares that could not be sold. Now people can sell those shares, and they're selling. That GBTC, look at a chart of that thing. That's a terrible chart, horrible chart. I talk about the different phases that stocks go through, just four. You know, you're either in a sideways trend, an uptrend, a kind of a topping out consolidation trend, or a downtrend. GBTC is in a horrible downtrend. And the two most common moving averages that most people watch are the 200-day and the 50-day moving average. Yeah, I know, day traders use 10-minute moving averages and things like this. They're pretty unpredictable. I like a little bit longer. But the 50-day, number one, when the Bitcoin Trust dropped below the 50-day clear back in April at about $50 per share, okay, that was number one warning flag. The Bitcoin Trust is now $24 per share, so it's lost half its value since crossing under its 50-day moving average. Then it crossed under its 200-day moving average at about $30 per share. And now it's down another 20% after crossing its 200-day moving average underneath it. Now you've got the 50-day, which crossed under the 200-day about a week ago. That's called the death cross. And that has caused another big dump in this stock, in this trust. It's down 4.7% again today. The Bitcoin Trust is ranked number 3,299 as more shares become unlocked in that trust. And, of course, you've got a line out the door of the SEC to bring out Bitcoin ETFs. Now, that would help. I mean, if you get more vehicles to invest in Bitcoin with the ETFs, but so far the SEC has not allowed any Bitcoin ETFs. We got one in the biotech sector here, a hot one, CYTK, which is Cytokinetics. That is a solid chart there, baby. Whew, that's nice. It was up big yesterday. It's up another 9% today. What do they have? Well, they've got a heart disease drug that is showing better results than one that is being developed by a big competitor, I think Bristol Myers, comparing the results from those from the rival candidate from Bristol Myers. Needham analyst Chad Messer has raised the per share price target on Cytokinetics to $48 a share. It's currently trading at $29 per share. This thing's traded 3.2 billion million shares so far today, which is about quadruple normal volume. No, 10 times normal volume. It had a huge day yesterday, and it is shooting higher today, up 9.3%. It's ranked number 123 overall in my app. That was after yesterday's move. It is a best stock now. What can I say? Market cap, about 2 billion. Call it 2 billion. They don't have a product yet, but they're getting very promising results from a heart disease type of drug. Cytokinetics is the stock. CYTK. It's exciting. All right, let's see. We had another one. Let me see if that one's still going. That was a pain drug. Pain therapy. Yeah, it's had a pretty good day. It's up 37%. Neuro, N-U-R-O, is up 30% after the company's Quell device received breakthrough designation. Actually, this is a pretty big deal for treating the symptoms of fibromyalgia in adults. Fibromyalgia is a common form of chronic pain that is accompanied by fatigue, sleep, cognitive, and mood disturbances. Well, maybe Neuro has something. N-U-R-O. Okay, I'm going to get the one bad earnings report out of the way, and then when we come back, we'll talk about some very explosive earnings reports. And I want to talk about two of my favorite stocks right now in the cybersecurity world. They're not the usual names. Maybe you've never heard of them. One is breaking out, exploding higher today. We own that one. And we own them both. They're both having a good day. But the one bad report, and this may be something that shows up in these earnings reports that are coming out now, PPG Industries, which is a paint company, the building supply, their stock, they missed earnings big time. Supply disruptions and cost inflation. So we'll be watching those stocks that rely on, you know, chemicals and whatnot, where there's been inflation, or ingredients where there's been a lot of inflation, and also supply chain disruption. So if you own a stock that is like PPG, you might want to be on the alert. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go and do what you want to do.
Here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show, and a big bounce back day today with the Dow up 531 right now, NASDAQ up 143, Russell 2K smoking higher today after yesterday's big sell-off. And what I thought was overblown concerns about the COVID Delta variant. Okay, two companies that I want to mention here real quickly. Neither one, well, one is a Best Stock Now and one isn't, and they both had good earnings reports. IBM tops Wall Street forecast. Now, IBM's been a dud for years. You can look up the 5-year and the 10-year returns of IBM as a stock and see what I mean by that. But they did have a good earnings report. They are a member of the S&P 500. This will impact the overall earnings for the S&P 500. It is helping the Dow today. IBM's up 4.4%, but overall the stock is ranked number 2,650 in the BestStocksNowApp.com. The other one that reported very strong earnings, and it is a Best Stock right now, is HCA Healthcare. The symbol is HCA. That stock is exploding to the upside. I do not own it. I've considered it. The healthcare stocks have been very strong recently. United Healthcare has been strong, Humana's been strong, Anthem's been pretty strong, HCA, which operates 178 hospitals, has been strong. Well, it's a momentum stock today, blasting off. It was ranked number 100, it's been ranked number 196 out of 5,800. It has been a Best Stocks Now, it's been under consideration by me, I didn't buy it. It's exploding. It's up $26 a share today, up 11.9%. Now, the stock I've chosen to feature today is two stocks. I'm going to mention two really quick here. Sentinel One, billionaire hedge fund funder Dan Loeb, picked up 200,000 shares of cybersecurity company Sentinel One. Okay, that's a recent IPO. The symbol is S. And I own that in my emerging growth portfolio, okay, where I buy stocks like this, new companies, smaller companies. The thing that I find interesting about Sentinel One is it's a competitor with CrowdStrike. And CrowdStrike has been just a phenomenal stock in that space. So we'll see if Sentinel One, CrowdStrike's a $56 billion company. Sentinel One is just $12 billion. But they do compete head-to-head with each other. And, you know, Dan Loeb didn't become a billionaire hedge funder without picking some winners over the years. I actually owned this stock before I saw this news. But it's just one of the more speculative emerging-type stocks that I own right now. And another one that I own is Rapid7, RPD, Rapid7. It's ranked number 66 overall in my BestStocksNowApp.com, which is invaluable at a time like this. With all this volatility in the market, I mean, things are swinging all over the place. They're eventually going to settle down. And I've been picking off a few here during this volatility, getting ready for the next big move in the market. You know, the last big move in the market began last February, and it ended in February of this year. And I wrote it for all it was worth, and then I started you know, gathering the harvest, you know, baling the hay, putting it in the barn. I ventured into a few areas and nibbled at them, and it didn't work out so good. So I've kind of just kind of been playing defense here until we get another trend. It looked like we had a few trends developing. They petered out after a short move because of interest rates. Interest rates have really been unpredictable, way unpredictable. Well, one of the stocks, I feel pretty good about the cybersecurity with all the hacking going on and the ransoms and all of this and that. It's not going to go away. Rapid7 is a smaller one. It's a $6 billion company, RPD. They acquire Insight Cyber Intelligence today, and that should be accretive to their earnings. That's a good thing. And the analysts obviously, or the investors obviously, like this news because the stock is bolting higher. It's breaking out to a new high today. It's up 3.7%. RPD again is ranked number 66 overall in my beststocksnowapp.com. You know, if you own a stock, it would behoove you to look up the ranking of that stock. Those rankings, you know, they update every day, by about 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the evening. They don't make huge moves one way or another. They pretty much maintain their rankings, and, you know, until maybe there's a catalyst or a breakout or something. But it separates what I consider to be the best stocks in the market now from a whole giant field of mediocrity. There's a lot of mediocrity in the market. You know, stocks that probably should not be public, stocks that haven't grown their earnings for years, stocks that are way beyond their prime. You know, that's just the nature of the beast. I track 5,800 different stocks, ETFs, mutual funds, and right now there's only 413 out of that big field that I consider to be best stocks now. That's the name of the show. That's the name of the app. That's the name of my newsletter. That's what we're seeking. Best stocks now. And right now, it's just been changing so quickly. Every month, it's a new group of stocks that are at the top of the leaderboard. But I think it feels to me like things are finally going to settle down here and we're going to have a playable trend. It'd be a good time to talk to Gunderson or one of my advisors, or to check out my newsletter, some of the stocks we've purchased here recently. We gave up on some that didn't work out short term, you know, took some small losses in those stocks. It's frustrating, but it is what it is. And I think there's maybe some trends starting to develop here. You can get 2 free weeks of my newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. What keeps me going every day in the market and gives me direction? It's the macro outlook. It's the earnings picture for the S&P 500. I update that every single week in my newsletter. The end of the day, I'm a market timer. But I've been bullish on the market for the most part since 2009, when earnings bottomed at $53 per share for the S&P 500. What are earnings expected to be this year, next year, and the year after that? Because that's what the market's looking at right now. That's its North Star that it's following. And I update that weekly in my newsletter, and always looking for those clues that another recession or bear market is upon us. This is Bill Gunderson. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.